All right, if I could ask you guys, if you'll see in your handout on the those references after in what sense do the following passages use the phrase, some of you would just turn to one of those passages. I'm gonna just ask who has those, and you just raise your hand, let me know that you've turned to one of those passages. I want to be able to read those in quick succession when we get to that point. Most of you, unless you are married and have a job and in a career and everything, have most of your major decisions in life ahead of you. And when I was in high school, I used to look at people who were married and they had a job or they're in ministry or whatever and think, how do they get from where they are, where I am now, like my age as a teenager, to where they are now? You'd have to, it represents negotiating a whole bunch of different decisions. And so I would wonder how that happened. And sometimes it seemed to me that adults were really mysterious about how they got to that point. Well, how'd you know who you're supposed to marry? Well, I just kind of knew it, and oh, I forget. You know, that was one thing that really frustrated me when asking people for their advice. It's like, I just can't remember. And it's easy to forget the frustrations and the anxieties that you experience when facing decisions. Now, let me just give you an overview of this lesson. The purpose of the lesson is to help you understand what God's will is and how to know what God wants you to do. And for, as an overview, I'm just going to try to answer three different questions. First of all, what is God's will? And that will help clear up a lot of confusion, because it could be that you have an idea about God's will that's not truly biblical, or that you're focusing on one aspect of God's will, and we'll look at that in just a minute here. The second question is, how can I know God's will? Which that leads naturally from the first question. And the third question is, how do I bring God's will to bear on my decisions, whether large or small? So those are the three questions that will drive the momentum of our lesson this afternoon. So first of all, what is God's will? There tends to be a lot of confusion about this. We hear different ideas about what God's will is, and we can pick up on some of this when we hear people's terminology, like, I'm seeking God's will for my life. Some people think this: God's will is everything that God has planned for your life, whether or not you know it. Another conception of God's will is what you feel God leading you to do when you're walking closely with Him, even if it doesn't make sense to you or anyone else. Another conception is what God wants you to do as He clearly reveals it in His Word. So what I want us to do is briefly look at these passages that I asked some of you to turn to, and then we'll fill in those two first blanks. So who has John 6:40? Who has John 6:40? Anybody have John 6:40? Okay. Before you read that, let me do this. Let me make it a little easier on you. I'm going to give you what goes in these first two blanks. And what I want you to do is determine, of these different passages, which sense of God's will is being spoken of in these verses. This will make sense a little bit as we continue. First of all, God's moral will is what goes in the first blank. God's moral will. And by that, I simply mean what God wants you to do. God's desire as far as right or wrong decisions in your life. And then we have God's sovereign will. That's everything God has ordained that will happen. Okay, God's moral will and God's sovereign will. Okay, John 6:40. And as he reads this, what's your name?
John.
Okay, Jonathan. As Jonathan reads this, would you try to discern whether the sense that's being used in this verse is referring to God's moral will, what God wants you to do, or God's sovereign will? Go ahead.
And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day.
Okay, what do you think? Moral or sovereign? Okay, read that again.
And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting
life. Okay, you could stop there. Tell you what, I'll come back to that. Let's go on to Daniel 4:35. Chris?
All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does according to His will among the hosts of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say His hand, or say to Him, what have you done?
Okay, what is that, moral or sovereign? Okay, that's sovereign, okay? Obviously, God does everything He wants to, and whatever He wants to do, He accomplishes, and no one can even question it. No one can restrain His hand, or no one can say, God, what are you doing? Okay, that's clearly God's sovereign will. All right, Acts 2:21-14. Who's got that? Yes, sir.
And Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done.
Okay, is that referring to God's sovereign or moral will? Okay, moral will. Now, does anybody think sovereign on that? Okay, why is it? Why would it be God's sovereign will?
Because that is what's going to happen.
Yeah, right. They don't know right now what's going to happen. And it's not clearly revealed what God wants them to do. They're just saying, whatever the Lord wills, let that be done. Okay, that's their prayer. That's referring to the sovereign will of God. Okay, what about 1 Thessalonians 4:3? Who's got that for us? I know I skipped one. Who's got 1 Thessalonians 4? Would you read that for us?
For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality.
Okay, this is the will of God, your sanctification, abstain from sexual immorality. Is that sovereign or moral? Okay, that's moral. This is what God wants you to do. Not that this is God. This is one aspect of God's sovereign will in which he's ordained will or will not happen. But this is something about which you have a choice. Okay. So what do you think, which aspect, which one did I skip? James 4:14? That's referring to basically the same things we saw in Acts 21, where it says, if anyone goes to his city, they say, we're going to buy or sell and do this or that. Instead, you should say what? If the Lord wills. What is that referring to, moral or sovereign? Okay, that's a sovereign will of God. Okay, I'm going to only accomplish these things insofar as God has sovereignly ordained it to happen. So, which aspect, sovereign or moral, do you think we're going to focus on in this lesson? Okay, raise your hand if you think sovereign. Raise your hand if you think moral. Okay, this will help clear it up. This table here. Let's look at the differences between God's sovereign and moral will. All right. How much of God's sovereign will, that is, all events, past, present, and future, has God revealed to me? Reveal to you. Think about what you know to be true about God's sovereign will. What are some things you know God has ordained absolutely will come to pass? Yes, sir. Okay, good. The defeat of Satan. That is absolutely within God's sovereign will. We know that will come to pass. Chris? Okay, the return of Christ. An aspect within God's sovereign will. Yes, sir. Okay, great. Those are all things we know for certain God has planned, part of his sovereign will, that will come to pass. But we actually know relatively little about that, relatively few events. When you consider all the events in your life, it's not like God has this huge catalog of every single decision that you need to make. And you turn to, what's today? The 1st of February, right? Let's say you turn to February, in God's huge big catalog of sovereign events, turn to February 1st, like 2:40, and say, what does God want me to do right now? And it says, thou shalt sit in a chair and listen to the lesson. Okay? Is that the way God has revealed his will to us? No. All right? There are few aspects of God's sovereign will that have actually been revealed to us. Some, but specific events. So what you can put in, I have that there in the blank. Now, what about God's moral will? What has God revealed about his moral will? Well, a lot. He's told us things that he wants us to do. All right. Now, should God's sovereign will impact our decisions, or can it impact our decisions today, right now? Okay. In what way? Well, we can trust that God is in control. We can trust, since God is going to, that Christ is going to return. We live in the light of that reality of his return. Okay, so that's a way in which we can live in the light of God's sovereign will. How does God's moral will? Should God's moral will impact our decisions now? Absolutely. Okay? God's moral will, as we're going to look at in a little bit, impacts every aspect of our life. Will God's sovereign will absolutely come to pass? Yes. The verse that I believe is Chris read, that he does according to his will. And no one can stop him. Okay? What God has sovereignly ordained to come to pass will come to pass. Contrast that with the moral will of God. Will God's moral will absolutely come to pass? No. Let's just take this for example. The 1 Thessalonians 4:3 verse that was read. This is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Does that always happen? Do people always abstain from sexual immorality? No. But does God will it? That's what God wants to happen, but it does not always happen. All right? So it's helpful to understand the difference between God's sovereign and moral will. What can I do to accomplish God's sovereign will? In the last question, what can we do to accomplish God's sovereign will?
Same thing you can do to prevent it.
Okay. You know, that is the... do you all agree? Did you hear what he said? The same thing that we can do to prevent it, which is absolutely nothing. Now, And that was the answer that I had initially until I thought even more about this and thought about the role of prayer. All right? And although we understand, on the one hand, that God has sovereignly ordained everything that was going to take place, somehow through a process that defies our understanding, God can be moved by our prayers. Okay? But that's the only thing that I can think of that will actually impact God's sovereign will. All right? We can actually pray that Christ would hasten his return, and somehow God hears and responds to that prayer, even though he's already sovereignly ordained it. How that happens, it's beyond the scope of this session to discuss, but it is true. And so, although prayer is the only thing that we know that we can do to accomplish or bring about God's sovereign will, but what can we do to bring about God's moral will? What do we do to accomplish God's moral will, or what God wants us to do? What do?
Have a right relationship
with Him. Okay, have a right relationship with Him. If I were to tell you, if I were to tell Jared to give me that water bottle, what would he have to do to make that happen? Obey. Simple obedience. That's what goes in that spot there. Obey. What do we do to accomplish God's moral will? It's obedience. Obedience. All right? Now, that, I think, hopefully clears up some possible confusion about when people say, I know this is God's will for my life. Right? I know that God wants me to go to Zimbabwe as a missionary, marry this particular girl, and be there for the rest of my life or something. I know that's God's will. Right? Well, what do you mean by, do you know that that's God's sovereign will? I know, who said that they were going to major in Bible with a minor in business? Do you know for sure that you're going to do that? Right? Anything could change, right? We don't know what's on the mar, right? God knows that, and that is hidden within the mind of God. Okay, God is not, what's your name? Did I already ask you? I'm sorry.
David.
Okay, David. God has not come to David and said, David, thou shalt attend Bob Jones University. Did he speak to you like that? Okay. But if he did, then we'd have some addendum to Scripture, right? Because that would have been God giving new revelation. So God did not come directly and speak to him, nor did God send a letter. And David opens a letter and it says, go to Bob Jones, major in Bible, minor in business, signed God. I mean, we didn't see that. That's within God's, whatever David's going to major in and wherever David's going to go to college is within God's sovereign will. But David's responsibility is to follow what? Which aspect of God's will? God's moral will, okay? What God wants him to do. Now, so when we say, let's go to the first page there. I know this is kind of like a book, and I was going to try to go a little faster, but as you can see, I'm going slowly. So when we say, I'm seeking God's will, what we should mean is not, I'm trying to find out exactly what God has planned for the future, because we can't know that. What we're trying to seek is what God has told us to do. It's clearly revealed in the Scripture. All right? I'm trying to discern God's moral will about this decision. Don't write that yet. Don't write moral will yet, because there might be another word that I had here that was a little better. I'm trying to discern, okay, this is what to put here, God's expressed desires. Okay, that's what I wanted, God's expressed desires. I'm sorry, I made some people erase or cross out. I could see some people getting angry about that. Forgive me, please. God's expressed desires, okay? I'm trying to understand what God has, in his word, told me to do. Do we have any revelation about God's moral will outside Scripture? Has God, this is a big question here. Has God revealed anywhere else besides the pages of Scripture his moral will? We have to come to the conviction that he has not. That everything that we need for life and godliness, we find written in the words of Scripture. Okay, you've got to have that settled conviction that you go to the Bible to understand what God wants you to do. You're not relying on a strange feeling. You're not relying on a dream. God has given you everything you need to know about what you need to do, right in the word in the Bible. Okay, so that's where we need to go to seek God's will. All right, let's go on to the question: how can I know God's will? We answer the question, what is God's will? And we found that there are two senses in which God speaks of his will. The one, the sovereign will in which he's revealed everything that's going to happen not revealed, but in which God has planned everything that will happen, and then his moral will, in which he's told us what he wants us to do, right? And what we're seeking to know is, what does God want me to do in the form of moral commands that he's revealed in Scripture? So, where does the moral will of God come from? The moral will of God is the expression of the character of God. Okay, that's what goes in the blank there, the character of God. Won't take time to look at those references. But where is the character of God expressed? Where is the moral will of God articulated in black and white? Where do we see that? It's in the Bible. Okay? That's why we don't do this. You know what? I've heard this before. My parents don't want me to do this. My parents have made this rule in my house that I'm not allowed to, let's say, listen to a certain sort of music. Okay, this is what I've heard before. But this music really helps me get closer to God. And since God is a God of love and he wants me to grow, what I need to do is disobey my parents so that I can really grow spiritually. Okay? Now, what that person is, the way that person is thinking is that I can bypass God's expressed will, children, obey your parents, to get to what I think is the character of God. Okay? That's not the way to get there. The way God has revealed his character, it's informed by the Word of God. Okay? I've heard this from this is another thing I've heard. Let's say a husband and wife are married, obviously, but they're having struggles in their relationship, and neither of them are happy. They're miserable because they can't relate to each other. They're incompatible, or for whatever reason. They're both Christians. They know that the Bible says that divorce is wrong, but surely God wants me to be happy because he's a loving God, and therefore I could be justified in getting a divorce. Right? See what's going on? Bypassing the Scripture to what we think is the character of God, when in fact this is where God has revealed his will. All right? Now, God, the moral will of God is revealed in the Bible, fully revealed in the Bible. We have everything we need to know. Now, this is another really important aspect. The moral will of God touches every aspect and moment of life. Get this, guys, there is no aspect of your life to which God's moral will does not speak. Does it speak to how you use your cell phone? We talked about this. If you're with me in the session on technology, yes, God's moral will speaks to how you handle your cell phone. God's moral will speaks to your relationship with a girlfriend. God's moral will speaks to your relation with your parents, how you spend your free time, how you study. God's moral will speaks to every aspect and every moment of your life. There's not a single area of your life that you could say, the Bible doesn't really talk about this, so I could kind of do whatever I want. Right? And I'll show that to you in this way, because God's will, as revealed in the Bible, informs what your goals should be. Okay, it doesn't inform just individual actions. Don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery, honor your mother and father. Okay, those are individual actions, but God's moral will also informs our whole orientation in life, our whole aims in life, okay, our goals. So, here's a question to ask when seeking God's will. If I take this opportunity or do this thing, will it help or hinder me in accomplishing my God-given goals? Two blanks there, help or hinder. When you're facing a decision, you need to ask, the goals that God has given me, is this going to help accomplish them or hinder me to accomplish those? What are some goals for your life? Let's click some of these off real quick. What are some goals that God has set for your life in the Bible that you know this is what I should be aiming for? Any come to mind real quick? Okay, sanctification, spiritual growth. What else? Witnessing. Okay, witnessing. Yes, God wants us to be a witness. Okay, let's just take those three. Two of them really coincide. Spiritual growth, becoming Christ-like, and witnessing. Okay, God has already set those goals for your life. So, as you make decisions, you got to be thinking, is this decision that I'm going to make, is this going to help or hinder my Christian testimony, my witness to Christ? Attitudes in accomplishing my God-given goals. Is my attitude reflecting God's moral will for my life? What time does the next session start? Is it 2:10? 2:15? Okay, I might have to move real fast. We might need to skip some blanks. How many of it just irritates you when we skip blanks on handouts? It's just like, I cannot stand that. Okay. Well, if we skip any, it really irritates you, then just see me afterwards, and I'll tell you not to be irritated by it. No, and I'll give you the plagues. Okay, so is my attitude reflecting God's moral will for my life? Actions, and this is where it gets more specific. Okay, we're going broad with our goals, and then as I accomplish those goals, is my attitude what God wants it my attitude to be in accomplishing these goals? And then finally, my actions. The perspective on life is even broader, but we'll go with the actions first. In accomplishing my God-given goals, are my actions lawful? In other words, has the Scripture forbidden it or not? Or and wise? Are they lawful and wise? That's what goes in the blanks there. Are the actions lawful and wise, or do they conflict with the will of God? And then D, the perspective on life. Do these choices reflect a godly perspective on life? Do these choices reflect a godly perspective on life? Okay, I want to just read this paragraph here after this. This is not saying that God has a command for every single decision that we make. Let's see here. You're wearing a striped shirt. Did God tell you to wear that striped shirt this morning? Or last night, or whenever you put it on? Or yesterday morning, whenever you put it on? God didn't tell you, but you decided that this would be a good thing to wear. Maybe you didn't even think about it, but you know that God probably wanted you to wear a shirt. You may not even have thought about it, but there's a sense in which my point is God doesn't give us specific commands for every single decision, but God gives us goals, and He informs our attitudes and our perspective on life under which those decisions are made. All right. So God's will touches these actions and impacts them. A great illustration of this is when Paul is urging the people to give in 2 Corinthians. He's saying you need to give cheerfully and give generously. But Paul did not specify how many denarii they were supposed to give exactly. He said, I'm not going to specify a dollar amount. But what I am going to specify is that you give out of your abundance, according as God has blessed you, so give. All right? So, when you're supposed to give in the offering, you know that a tithe is a good minimum, but as far as giving above and beyond that, has God told you exactly what you have to give? No, how is that informed? By a principle from Scripture that you're to give with generosity and according as God has blessed you. Okay, so what is God's will? How can I know God's will? And how can I live out God's will? This brings us to the principle of wisdom. And I've taken some of this from, adapted some of this from Gary Friesen's book, Decision Making in the Will of God. I don't give a blanket endorsement of that, of course, but he has some helpful principles here. The skill or discipline of bringing God's moral will to bear on our lives is called wisdom. And we see that Scripture models this way of living. Jesus commanded his servants to be wise as servants and harmless as doves. When the apostles were deciding where to go, they said we thought it best. Colossians 4:5, conduct yourselves with wisdom. So, as we wrap this up here, how to get this wisdom? First of all, ask God for it. Right? If any man lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. Right? Second, search the Scriptures. You've got to know what the Bible says. Guys, if I can encourage you with this, and this is a theme that's been throughout this conference, get to know your Bible really well. You can't know God's will for your life if you don't know God. You can't know what God wants you to do unless you know the one who's informing everything you should be doing. Get to know God really, really well through the Scriptures. And that is how you can understand God's will for your life. Search the Scriptures. But also, in addition to understanding Scriptures, research the facts and options. We see that Nehemiah was an example of this. How that he went, when he was surveying the damaged wall, he by night he went and he looked around the wall to see the extent of the damage so that he can take that into account as he made his plans. Consult wise counselors. You could ask them this question: are you aware of any biblical principles that will touch upon my decision? Or when you went through a similar experience, did you gain any insights that would be of value to me? And finally, last life experience. Proverbs speaks much about this, of drawing on the experience of life. Now, we'll close with these practical questions when facing a decision. First of all, each of these, I have a word that will help you maybe remember these or summarize these. First of all, your movement as far as the direction in your life. As far as I can tell, when you're facing a decision, as far as I can tell, will this decision lead me away from or toward my growth in Christ-likeness? As a Christian, everything that God is doing in your life right now, God is doing to conform you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the way you glorify God, by being like His Son, Jesus Christ. Right? So whatever goals you have and whatever decisions you make should be informed by your desire to become more like Christ. Are you putting yourself into a position that will help, that will stretch you and grow you and increase your faith? Or are you going to put yourself into a position by making this decision that is going to limit your spiritual growth? Okay, that should come to play. Number two, ministry. Will this decision limit or expand my abilities or opportunities to serve others? Ministry. Will this decision limit or expand my abilities to my or opportunities to serve others? Third question to ask is motives. In honestly assessing my thoughts, am I motivated by God's purposes, or am I motivated by fear or peer pressure, selfish ambition, popularity, wealth, or comfort? Okay, what motivates you in this decision? Mentors, number four. Do godly, experienced people who know me and my circumstances well, do they feel enthusiastic with or uncomfortable about this decision? And then number five is myself, just evaluating who you are as a person. Does this decision resonate with my personal desires, interests, and skills? Now, when I was a senior in college, I noticed this girl that I kind of started to like. And when you're a senior in college and you're not dating anybody, you get what's called senior panic, you know, where you kind of get a little bit worried, like maybe you're going to be single for the rest of your life. And so I don't want to say that I actually got senior panic, but I got senior concern. Let's just put it that way. And I decided that I needed to do something about it. And this, I really liked this girl, and I was just kind of, you know, checking her out and watching her, and I talked to some of her friends, and I knew her a little bit, and I did a lot of research on her. I mean, I talked to a lot of friends and said, hey, by the way, what do you think about Krista McAvoy? You know, what do you think about her? She's a great girl. She's really godly, they would say. I was like, that's good. That's good. She's really pretty. She's fun-loving. She's always, it seems like she's always encouraging people. This is the sort of girl that I wanted to marry. But I was really scared about it, because marrying someone is like a really big deal, like pretty much the biggest decision you're going to ever make. And what am I going to do? And so I decided that this was the first semester of my senior year, and I decided that over the Christmas break I was going to just pray about it and ask God. Every time I prayed, whether I was at a meal by myself and just praying, thanking God for my food. Anytime I prayed, virtually, even if it was just like walking along and I was breathing a prayer, I would just say, God, if you don't want me to ask Krista out, then do something to stop me. But this is what I'm planning to do, right? Because everything about her, everything that I felt like I was looking for in a girl and what she was, just seemed to mesh, right? And so I prayed, and 3 weeks later, first event, I asked her out. And it was really cool. But one of the problems was I was developing this really weird cyst on my face. And it looked like a major zit, like huge, huge red mountain right here, right? And I was thinking, man, this is going to be a problem. You know, she's going to be like, what's going on with your face? In fact, it was so big that guys in my hall would be like, hey, what's up, John? I mean, no, they'd say, hey, what's up, cyst? Oh, hey, John. You know, they greet my cyst first, and it was just crazy. And so I tried to make sure as we went into Vespers that it was on my left side, that she sat on my right side, and And she told me later that she did think it was pretty weird, but she thought, you know, what if this is God's will for me to marry a guy with a cyst? Then you know, this is God's will. Well, I eventually actually had to get it surgically removed, but thankfully that wasn't part of God's will to stop me from marrying her. Right? I was really thankful for that, and I kept on asking her out, and the Lord just seemed to lead us together, and as I prayed about this, but you know, the whole process, I look back and I realize I was desperate for God to lead me. I didn't want to make a choice. I didn't want to make a step that would be outside God's will. I was searching my motives. Are my motives right? God, I was talking to people, my parents who knew me well, and describing this girl to them and getting their input on it. And this is the way, guys, that we should proceed in life as we seek God's will. The decisions that you're making within these next few years are some of the biggest decisions you will ever face. And you right now are creating a pattern in your life of decisions that honor God or dishonor Him. Right? You're walking on a trajectory. You're taking steps. Are the steps that you're taking, are they to please God or are they to please yourself? And the Lord did lead us together. We dated for like a semester or so. And then my first year of grad school, she dumped me. I think I told you about this in the other session, but I thought, you know what, Lord, whatever you want with this, and I prayed about it, and then the next semester she came back to her senses, and it was a trying experience, but now the Lord has brought us together and we're serving Him together. But if I could just challenge you guys with this. Seek God's will for your life. And by seeking God's will, I don't mean trying to find out what the future is, but obey. That is the revealed will of God to you. Is what He has told you to do in His Word. Are your goals being shaped by God's moral will? Are your attitudes being shaped by God's moral will? Is your perspective on life being shaped by God's revealed will? Okay, let it be shaped and follow God's will in that way. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer, and then we'll move on to the next session. Dear Lord, thank You for the opportunity we've had to look into Your Word, and I pray that each one of us would be committed anew to following Your will as You've so clearly revealed it in Your Word. I pray that You would keep us from following our flesh and pleasing ourselves. You're so good to us. We love You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.